It's great to be here sharing with you again this morning. And it was nice to be reminded that this is kind of the end of the Christmas season. One great theme of Christmas, as you know, is peace. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. The shepherd received that message from the angels, didn't they? And if we think about peace, you know, this week, there's been such news that maybe shattered peace and drew us away from peace for many people. Thinking about the assassination of that Iranian general. And you know, that has taken us farther away from peace, not towards peace in the Middle East and around the world. And it even affects us with price rises in our petrol and knock-on effects from that. And if you were living in Australia and you're seeing these blazes around your house, you're not going to be feeling much peace at Christmas, probably. And we come to a new year, and we often make these resolutions, don't you? I don't know what your resolutions are, but I just want to be thinking about peace and perhaps letting God's peace minister us. And I want to share three pictures this morning of finding peace in our lives. So let's just pray. Dear Lord Jesus, you are the Prince of Peace, and yet we struggle to find peace in our lives often. And so we pray that you just come into our lives. Touch us in all the areas and help us to understand peace, to find peace, and to be at peace, and especially to have peace with you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I want to explore three pictures, like I said. And the first one, just start with something so familiar. And Psalm 23, that familiar picture of the sheep and the shepherd, and David writing as a shepherd. And he said these words, didn't he? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul, and he guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want you for a moment to imagine a perfect holiday. We're coming to the end of this holiday season. Some people managed to get away, perhaps. Or if you thought, you know, I would have loved to get away. So many people, when it comes to the cooler winter time, they think, oh, it's perfect time to go on holiday, somewhere warm, somewhere tropical. What would be that perfect holiday? You want to stay in a nice hotel. Someone's going to look after everything you need. You don't have to clean the room, do you? Someone comes in and cleans that room for you. That's nice. You don't have to cook any meals. Usually they're provided for you. That's nice. Someone's providing for you. You want a holiday where you just relax, right? Someone maybe around the pool, maybe walking through some beautiful countryside. I don't know what makes that perfect holiday for you. A spa, a nice massage, or some other beautiful therapeutic treatments, just going to feed your soul a bit. That's what we're looking for on a holiday usually, right? We're going to come back. We want to be refreshed. You know, the beginning of this psalm seems to me that perfect holiday. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. Someone's going to provide everything I need. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. I'm in this contented relaxation. He restores my soul. There's a beautiful therapeutic treatments just to treat your soul. And isn't this the peace that we need to find, really? The peace of walking with the shepherd. To get this kind of peace, we walk with the shepherd in his paths. But we know that the paths that Jesus asks us to walk, the great shepherd of the sheep, aren't always easy. You know, Jesus himself said, didn't he, to his disciples, if anyone would follow me, he needs to take up his cross and follow me. It's not always an easy path. But it's a path to find peace, we follow the path, we follow what God has for our lives, for his sake and for his higher purpose. You know, in the ancient Near East, where this is set, and much of the Bible, the context and the setting behind what was written in the Bible, the shepherd, this was a metaphor for the king. The king needed to remember that he was the shepherd. He looked after his flock, his people, and he guided them. And a shepherd should be not far off. It's not leaving sheep miles away, but they're hands-on. They're walking right beside the sheep. They're behind them. They're in front of them, watching over the whole sheep. And so this is why we can have peace, even in those difficult paths that Jesus asks us to walk from time to time, because we know that he is with us. You know, his goodness and love follow us all the days of our life. We dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I love that picture. You know, the goodness and love, they follow us. They're behind us. We can't always see it. We're walking forward, don't see it. But you glance over your shoulder later. You think back over what happened. What just happened? Oh, I can see the love and I can see the goodness of God following me as I walk along that path. It follows me. And it gives us this reassurance of peace. You know, even in the dark paths of life, verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And we know some of us have walked literally through that valley of the shadow of death. And loved ones have passed away, or we ourselves have been afflicted with different things. And you know, you think, wow, my life is short. You're with me. David realized, God, you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod protected, rescued the sheep. The staff, instrument of support that we can lean on. They comfort us. God won't let us down. Brings us through because his commitment to us. Ultimately, this is this picture of peace and refreshing that we want to find here on earth, but it will be fulfilled in heaven. You remember in those words in Revelation 7. And in Revelation 7, verse 17, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, it says. And he will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. You know, here we have this peace. And in the midst of this peace, we read in this psalm, you prepared a table for me in the presence of my enemy. We're invited to a meal as honored guests. We came to such a meal today. In meals in the ancient Near East were a time of covenant sometimes, a time where they were exchanging promises. And there were special meals where a king would renew their covenant with their people, saying, you know, I'm taking you under my protection. What a picture to bring to the communion table, this meal we shared today, and through the table to look to the cross. Because that's what we were reminded us of. You know, as we pick up our own cross, as we follow Jesus, he's gone before on the cross, and as we share communion with him, as we remember this meal, you prepared a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You're promising protection. You're promising safety. You're promising that you're going to be with me. You're promising, Jesus, that as I follow your paths, as I surrender to your leading, I'm also entering into your shepherd protection for my life. And I can know peace. I can know peace. I can be sure God is with me. He will never leave me or forsake me. And so that's one picture of peace. But I know we sometimes go through bitter times. You know, when I was living in Indonesia, there was one vegetable, very bitter. I don't know if you have ever eaten any really bitter vegetable. Daun ubi, this, the leaves of the cassava plant, they're so bitter. But you know, if you cook them just about right, with some garlic, and eat them with a lot of rice, you might just about be able to eat them. Some people like them. Or okra. I've had that. That can be pretty bitter as well. I don't know if any of you eat that. You know, life can be bitter, but if it's cooked in the right way, perhaps it's manageable like these vegetables. However, some of our bitter experiences don't go away just like that. They are with us. If we think back to Christmas, what were the gifts that the king brought? Gold. That's exciting. Frankincense. Oh, nothing like smelling this beautiful perfume, right? That's nice. Myrrh. The spice they buried the dead with. You know, myrrh has the same root as Mara. We might remember that story in the Old Testament. Or even the name Miriam, and it means bitterness. Bitter. We sometimes go through bitter experiences. And so how can we find this refreshing and peace in the midst of bitterness? And I do want to think about that story in Exodus, where after escaping from the Egyptians, and they celebrate that, Exodus 15, with the song of Moses and the song of Miriam, and they're celebrating being escape, and then they come short of water. And Moses led, in Exodus 15, verse 22, and Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went to the desert of Shur, and 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. They say, you know, you can live for maybe about 3 minutes without oxygen and about 3 days without water and 3 weeks without food. I've heard that on the island from Bear Grylls. So here we're right on the edge of things, 3 days without water. They're desperate. They're desperate now. And they came to Mara. And they couldn't drink its waters because it was bitter. And that's why it's called Mara. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, what are we going to drink? And then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood, and he threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. You know this story. You know they're right on the edge. They're right on the edge, 3 days without water. And then they suddenly get the promise of something better, and it turns out to be bitter. You know, sometimes our life is bitter. Moses was faced with a crisis, but what did Moses do? He cries out to God. There could be grumbling. There could be think, I can't do this anymore. I might have given up. But Moses, one of them, cried out to God. You know, when we're facing a bitter time, perhaps we need a Moses, someone who's going to cry out to God on our behalf, because we might not be able to do it. We might be too much right on the edge. Perhaps you could be a Moses for someone else when you're seeing there going through a bitter time. And stand on behalf of someone else. Moses needed that. You remember he was on top of the hill, didn't he? And he was praying and his arms were up. And then they were coming down. And what did he need? He needed Aaron. One side and now my mind's gone blank on the other side, but holding his arms up. He needed people around him. But here we have Moses crying out to God on behalf of others. Someone whose godly perspective we might respect when we've lost our perspective. You know, when you're so dehydrated, you're beginning to hallucinate, you're not really seeing things straight. Moses knew God's goodness. Moses knew God's covenant promises. Exodus 23, just after this, there's those words to Moses, worship the Lord your God, and his blessing will be on your food and drink. You know, and even in the face of grumbling, God honored his covenant here. He gave him the food, he gave him the drink, and it seemed bitter to begin, and then he gave the means to make that sweet. There is, I was reading yesterday, a kind of wood that might be able to do this kind of thing found in the Near East. You throw it in and might make the waters sweeter. Medieval scholars used to read this, and they loved to compare the sweetening power of the wood thrown into the bitter waters to the cross of Jesus. Bringing our bitter losses and experiences to him and allow the redemptive work of the cross to transform, to heal, We're reminded in Isaiah, by his stripes we are healed. What better way to find refreshing and peace? Again, we're looking back to the cross in this picture. Reflect on the bitterness and grief of your life, and so many of us have it, don't we? Experiences we've faced. Invite Jesus to come in and touch it with his love, to transform it into something sweet. The third picture I want to look at, and we can start off in Psalm 131, another short psalm that you may know, a psalm about being contented. My heart is not proud, O Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I don't concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me, but I've stilled and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. Now, if you have little kids, or maybe when you were younger, you went to a pantomime or something, and you wanted to be called up on stage. You know, you wanted that participation. Or maybe you've had kids and they've been asked to come up to the front or participate, and it's usually quite exciting. It's something they're going to remember. I think back to that possibly greatest day for one young child. And we can read about it in Matthew 18. Perhaps they're in the marketplace or something with his mother. But we had a child, and Jesus was asked a question by his disciples about who was the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And he called this little child, and he had him come and stand among them. And he said, so this child's right in the midst of at Jesus and his disciples. I tell you the truth. Unless you change and become like a little child, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in him to sin, it'd be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. Now, I'm sure this child remembered this day, even as he grew up, where he was asked to come and stand with this rabbi, this who became famous, didn't he, across the country. Infamous, maybe, depends on your point of view. But it was Jesus. And so we're reminded by Jesus to become like a little child, maybe like a little child that was described in this psalm. That when David's writing this psalm, perhaps he had this child in his mind. Not prideful, not full of presumption. My heart's not proud, O Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I want to be like a child, just like a child next to his mother. And not a little baby who's like bawling, feed on command kind of child that's demanding all the attention all the time. This is the weaned, contented child. I remember when I was young, there possibly wasn't a greater pleasure than just climb up on my mom's knee and to be cuddled. Just safe and secure, warm, comfortable. I love that. This is the picture: contentment, protection, peace. Not demanding. We can be ourselves with God. Isn't that a beautiful picture? We can be ourselves. We can let go and let God be in control of our lives. Let God take his rightful place. We can be weaned from that insubstantial, selfish ambition. Move on to the solid food of the Father's will. Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. So how do we learn this surrender? You know, Paul gives us a clue perhaps in Philippians 4:11. You know, I've learned in whatever state I am, to be content. Delia Smith, that great celebrity chef, food guru, now she gave some advice once about maintaining a healthy weight. After Christmas, perhaps we've overindulged some. Perhaps your New Year's resolution was, you know, I'm going to eat less. I'm going to lose some weight. I'm going to become fitter. Well, her advice wisely wasn't dieting for a season. It was adjusting the daily eating habits. You just got to eat differently. Not just a crash diet now. That's not going to help you lose weight over long term. You got to change your habits, small habits. You know, it's same with trusting God. It's same living at peace with God. We need to start with the small daily habits. Surrender them to the Lord. Trust in the small decisions. See the Father's giving love. Bless those small decisions as we yield our life day to day to Him. Being free, being restfully relying on the Lord, because we've proven Him to be true and faithful in the small things. And as we rest on these arms of God, we come to a place of refreshment and to a place of peace. And then this picture, as we've seen borne out several places in the Word, that we, as we are at peace, we can be at peace to others. Perhaps like a tree, a spreading tree that spreads its green leaves so others can find shelter under our boughs, our leaves, and bring peace to them. We can be a source of peace and refreshment to others, and out of us will flow streams of living water that others can find peace in. So let me encourage you, as we start a new year, I don't know what your resolutions were, but to find peace by following the shepherd. And as we do that, look through the meal to the cross that ultimately brought us peace with God, and that we aren't enemies with God anymore, but we live at peace with Him. Let that cross touch and transform the bitterness in your life. And be as a weaned child, resting trustfully in the presence of the Father. I want to just bring us back, in closing, to the psalm that we started with earlier in this, the verse we started with earlier in this service, in Romans chapter 15. And just kind of as a closing benediction, we read Romans 15:13. You know, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, we just want to come and bring our lives to You. We want to trust in You, and we recognize that so much in our lives is tainted by sin and difficult experiences. Help us to surrender those to You. And bring us peace. Bring us peace in our everyday. And we thank You that through Your cross, we have been brought into a relationship with You. We can have peace with You. Help us live in that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.